Support for podcasting on KBIA comes from Grindstone Fitness Studio, a full-service gym offering equipment for traditional exercise like weight and cardiovascular training, as well as specialized classes. Choices include personal training, spinning, yoga, Pilates, and more. All classes taught by certified professionals. More information is available at 443-4447, Grindstone Fitness Studio, 3005 Chinaberry Drive in Columbia.
From the Missouri School of Journalism, welcome to Global Journalist. I'm Jim Flink. Late last year, Uganda's parliament passed a bill that imposes harsh punishments for homosexual acts in the country. The bill makes it a crime to promote same-sex relationships and allows some acts to be punishable by life in prison. An earlier version included the death penalty in some instances. The legislation, which has yet to be signed by Uganda's president, has drawn widespread condemnation from Western countries since it was first introduced back in 2009. Now, a new documentary tracks the rise of the anti-gay bill in Uganda and its connection to American evangelical groups. The film, God Loves Uganda, follows a group of missionaries from the Kansas City-based International House of Prayer as they proselytize in the East African nation. Through candid interviews with individual members and prominent Christian leaders, the film spotlights the level of influence such groups have in that country. And joining me now is the film's Academy Award-winning director, Roger Ross Williams. Thanks for being with us today.
Great to be here.
And joining us via phone is freelance journalist Patience Akumu, who is based in Kampala. And Roger, let's go ahead and let's start with you, and let's talk about the inspiration for this film. Where did it come from?
I grew up in the African-American Baptist church. My father is a leader in the church. My sister is a pastor in the church. My uncle's the pastor of the church. You know, it's the family business. So I grew up with singing in the gospel choir. I grew up with a strong sort of, you know, Christian base in my life. When I just really read about what was going on. My last film was in Zimbabwe. I noticed the sort of hold fundamentalist evangelical Christianity had on the sub-Saharan Africa. And there was sort of church on every corner. So I became curious and sort of, you know, trying to do something about sort of faith and what was going on in Africa. And then I read about what was going on in Uganda and just went there.
Yeah, and going there, first, you had remarkable access to, as someone who lived in Kansas City for 15 years, the International House of Prayer is not known for allowing outsiders in, let alone letting media come in, and yet you had remarkable access to them at a very core level. How did you establish that?
The first day I went there, I met with John O'Hall, the media director. He said, you're part of the gay agenda. And I said, I'm not part of any agenda. I'm a filmmaker. And I'm here to tell a story. And I'm going to let you speak for yourself. I'm going to let you, in your own words, if you really believe what you believe, stand up for your beliefs. And I was even surprised that I sort of got in. And, you develop a relationship. You know, when you make a film, it takes years. I spent 3 years making this film. And that relationship was developed and cultivated over, you know, many years. So it wasn't just overnight. I didn't just go. It's a lot of, when you're a news organization, you'll just go and you knock on the door and they say no, and then you go away and move on to the next story. I could cultivate that relationship.
Okay, so let's talk about the themes of this film, because it's very powerful. Obviously, it has resonated throughout the world with an Academy Award and with, you've been at Sundance and any major film festival. Let's talk about the themes and what were you hoping to achieve and what do you think you achieved here?
Yeah. Well, what I wanted to achieve is I wanted to start a dialogue, really, between the two sides, between the fundamentalist American evangelicals and also the fundamentalist evangelicals in Uganda and the gay community, to develop a dialogue, because the two sides weren't talking, you know. And also what I wanted to do was actually to expose this story to people of faith around the country. We've been screening in hundreds of churches across America. I've been speaking at seminary schools, because people of faith don't know that money they're putting in the collection plate is actually going to fund hatred and intolerance. So I want people to be aware of that.
And we should clarify that the Academy Award was for another film. Nonetheless, this has gained such notoriety. The situation in Uganda, the government has taken a very harsh stance, as we set off the top. Explain a little bit more for people who might not be so well informed. What's going on there?
Yeah. I think it was December 20th. The bill was passed by the parliament. Anti-homosexuality bill, as it's called, was passed by the parliament, and that went to Museveni,
the president.
Museveni is the president of Uganda. Mm-hmm. Waiting for him to sign it. He has not signed the bill. He said that he wants to commission a study of doctors to study if homosexuality is if you're born gay or if it's learned behavior, and once he gets that study, he will make a decision whether he's going to sign the bill or not. And if he doesn't, I guess it goes back to Parliament, and they can vote 2/3 on it, and it will become law.
We should note that in the country, in Uganda, this bill has the support of something like, I think by your numbers, 90% of the populace.
Yeah, it's a huge percentage of the population support the bill, and a lot of parliamentarians support the bill. I recently met with one of the members of parliament, Gilbert Bukenya, who was the former vice president of Uganda, who used to support the bill and has changed his position and no longer supports the bill, and actually is in support of decriminalization of homosexuality in Uganda, one of the few politicians to do that. And, you know, he wants to sort of begin a dialogue and do that through the film. So that's the power of documentary film.
And a little bit of historical perspective. So Uganda is 88% Christian and something like 12% Muslim. Take us back to Idi Amin, his departure, and sort of the door that was opened to evangelical Christians at that time.
Yeah, well, Idi Amin was a Muslim, as she said, and certain charismatic Christianity was really, really like outlawed and was sort of an underground movement. The American evangelicals have been focusing on Uganda. This is something that's been planned over the last 30 years. And Mike Bickle, the founder of IHOP in Kansas City, he was there. I interviewed him in the film. I didn't use it in the film, but I interviewed him. He was there on the ground the day Idi Amin fell, as he said, with a group of American Christian leaders there to take that country as a Christian nation, as he said, bullets flying over his head. Mm. So this was something that has been planned. And what Americans did was they sort of moved into this vacuum, and they built a lot of Christian schools and hospitals and done a lot of great work. And Uganda's the youngest population on the planet, so they've and a lot of these kids have gone to Christian schools, so they've sort of raised up a nation, and this is now we're seeing the fruits of the labor.
And we should clarify that IHOP in this case is International House of Prayer, not the Pancake House.
As
many Americans might think of it. You mentioned the youthful age, the median age 15 in Uganda. So the evangelicals that are going there, it is their mission to particularly to reach a younger populace and to imbue sort of those American evangelical values in the country.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's why there are Christian leadership academies in schools, and there's the family, organization in Washington that does the prayer breakfast every year that every sitting president goes to. They have a leadership academy in Uganda. They've been very documented in Jeff Charlotte's book about it called The Family, and it's specifically about Uganda. They focus on Uganda because there's sort of biblical significance to Uganda because it's the headquarters of the Nile. Mm-hmm. But it also, because it was that sort of perfect storm, it was that vacuum that they could move in and fill that void.
And the vacuum has been filled, and in fact, churches are popping up everywhere, and you feature a couple of the sort of mega churches that have emerged in Uganda. And when you see the missionaries that go as a middle American sort of Anglo-Saxon sort of guy, you know, you see folks that would remind you of your neighbors, your kids, that kind of thing. And so there is this affinity that you establish, and I think that's probably something you were trying to establish in the film, yes?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, these missionaries, they're well-meaning. it's not like they're going there with this, you know, intent on, you know, killing or harming people. They're going there with what they believe is biblical truth, but they're going into a culture that they don't understand, and they're spreading this message, and it gets interpreted very differently in Uganda. When you go in and you say, you know, this group of people are sinners, and especially when someone like Scott Lively, who is sort of an extremist fundamentalist guy who went to Uganda, did a 3-day seminar, addressed the parliament for 5 hours on the threat of homosexuality, saying that the goal of the homosexual was to destroy the human race. You know, crazy stuff like that. He wrote a book called The Pink Swastika, saying the Nazi movement was a gay movement. I mean, this is an extremist who's marginalized here in America, but he gets the attention of parliamentarians in Uganda. And so when you have people like that that go and say, you have to stop this evil, people react to that.
And as a result of that, whether it is an intended or unintended consequence, what is happening now is, would you equate it to, in effect, a witch hunt?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a witch hunt that's happening not just in Uganda, but countries all across sub-Saharan Nigeria. Terrible things are happening in Nigeria right now. Yes, it is a witch hunt, and also the LGBT community is subjected to blackmail, to all kinds of things. And if this does become law, you know, you can. Anyone who, if you know a homosexual, you have a certain amount of time to turn them in, or you yourself could go to jail. So it becomes, you can use it as a weapon against your neighbor who you don't like. He's gay. Go arrest him. You know, it's crazy.
And I want to get to Patience Akumu about the situation in Kampala momentarily, but I also want to set the stage with David Kato and a very prominent gay activist who was murdered brutally, it might be said, after he was one of several who were outed in a newspaper called The Rolling Stone, yes?
Yes, yeah, The Rolling Stone newspaper.
Which is not related to the American Rolling Stone, by the way.
No.
Right.
Yeah, David was on the cover with Bishop Christopher Sinyanja, who's not gay, who's an Anglican bishop, who supports LGBT rights and equality. He's in my film. They were both on the cover, and David ended up brutally murdered, it was a big international outrage. I mean, it was crazy. His funeral, the pastor leading his funeral started sort of yelling anti-gay remarks, and the funeral sort of broke out in chaos, and Bishop Christopher had to rise to the occasion and actually put David Kato to rest.
And before we continue our discussion, I do want to remind everyone that you can actually view or listen to this program anytime by downloading our podcast. That's at globaljournalist.org. You can also find interesting articles, photos, and interviews related to all the things we're talking about in this program on our website. This week, we have an article on gay rights activist David Kato, who we just mentioned. Also, an overview of the history of gay rights and homophobia in sub-Saharan Africa. And you can send us your questions and comments via globaljournalist@kbiaa.org. That's globaljournalist@kbiaa.org, or on our Facebook page. You can also follow us on Twitter @GlobalJourn. And this gives us kind of an opportunity to bring in Patience Akumu and talk a little bit about what's going on in Kampala. And Patience, you actually have been reporting on this, which is a difficult task, I'm guessing, in Uganda right now. Can you explain that?
Yes, it's been really complicated covering the gay issue because as a reporter who's daring to write about this territory, you risk being labeled gay because Uganda is a very closely knit society. So if you're writing about a gay issue, you're not just going to affect yourself, but also your parents and your children and your entire extended family. So it's been almost, you know, hostile. You can see people saying, is she gay? Is she a sellout? Has she been given a lot of money by Western donors to do this? And many journalists, as a matter of principle, are not going to cover gay rights. They feel like they're selling out African culture. So if you're not writing a gay story that is saying hang them, like the Rolling Stone did, automatically there'll be a lot of ferocious criticism against you and almost a hate. No?
Absolutely. And you know, as a follow-up to that, you reported back in December that beyond the issue of gay rights. Now, there, as part of this law, for instance, there is a law that outlaws miniskirts. Can you kind of go into that a little bit?
Yeah, there is an obsession with all that is sexual in Uganda. It's pretty new because a lot of cultures. It's a very diverse country with several ethnicities, and many of them actually wear clothes that expose their body parts. But suddenly, the religious leaders and the politicians come out and say, "No, we do not want women looking to sex." The issue was sexual, and everybody turned their backs on the real economic problems, the poverty, the poor roads, the lack of employment for the youth, and they get worked up when the politicians tackle these moral issues, which they suddenly seem to see as more important. So it's not just the homosexuals, but the women. And it's a general human rights issue in Uganda. It's a general flimsy morality issue, a general Christian evangelical fanaticism that's just used to distract people.
And on that issue, Roger Ross Williams, one of the things that really kind of jumps out at you in your film, you actually are invited into the home of one of the country's most prominent ministers, and to see the disparity between how the average Ugandan lives and how this minister, who is one of the five richest men in the country, lives. You know, in journalism, we always talk about follow the money, and here is a man who's living like a king. Yes.
Yeah, that's Robert Kyanja. And Robert Kyanja is really interesting because Robert Kyanja is funded and trained in America. Robert Kyanja at age 17 was plucked from a reed church in Uganda by T.L. Osborne, the sort of father of the prosperity gospel, brought to Oklahoma, trained. And they said, "You're going to become the most powerful pastor in Uganda." And T.L. Osborne and the Olsteins, Joel Olstein's parents, mentored him, built his ministry up, and now he is the most powerful pastor in Uganda, with 300 satellite churches, a mega church, the largest church in Kampala of 10,000 people. He jets around in his private jet all over the continent. He's really now, and he's also on TBN. He's very good friends with the owners of TBN. So seeing his wealth is crazy. He's guarded by the military. He's guarded by the Uganda military.
Well, and what's interesting about that is at one point another minister talks about the fact that he is in partnership with one of the prominent parliamentarians who is leading this charge, and that they are, in fact, very openly a team, yes?
Yes. That's Martin Sempa, the most infamous he calls himself an anti-gay activist. Pastors in Uganda. He has a huge youth church in Makerere University, and he's the guy who is showing porn in church, he's been known to do condom burnings on campus because his abstinence only policy. He's received money from the Bush administration for his abstinence policy. This is a guy who's receiving U.S. government money. And he says that, you know, if you go against him, if you support LGBT equality, it's political suicide.
This obsession with sex that that patients referenced earlier, you cited a statistic last night during the preview of your film that was a little bit shocking, and that was regarding the use of gay porn in Uganda.
Yeah. Google just came out with a study of the top countries to search for gay porn, and Uganda is number three. Mm. Yeah.
And what do you make of that? Is that to make the argument? Is there something to extrapolate from that?
You know, when you repress people, when you have, you know, this is a country, Uganda is a country really obsessed with sex, as patients said, you know, the outlawing miniskirts. There's a healthy sort of tabloid with a lot of naked girls in the newspapers. They're pretty obsessed with sex, and they're really obsessed for some reason with gay sex. Mm. And you know, I don't know if it's the pastors doing research like Martin Sempa, who's showing porn in church, you know, or if it's just the general public. But it's an obsession in Uganda. Strange.
We should establish that you are a gay man, and that you were actually outed in a meeting with a minister in Uganda, which must have, in this climate, been terrifying for you.
Yeah. Some of the biggest anti-gay pastors in Uganda invited me to dinner at their home, and they pulled out an email and that said that I'm a gay man, and I was terrified. I mean, I just kind of froze because I didn't know what to do. I was with my crew, and they did all the talking. I denied it. I didn't know. And they decided that they also Googled me, and they said, "You want an Academy Award? We're going to cure you. Mm. You know, we're not going to kill you. We're going to cure you." Mm. And they started to pray over me, and I just went with that.
There is a lot of symbolism in this film, and you know the United States obviously has a very strong Christian history, and we had folks that were in the room that were evangelical Christians last night. One of whom was a pastor of a prominent local church, and he said that he was shocked by what he saw, the disconnect between what the goals might be of his mission and what the outcomes might be. Is that a hope for you?
Yeah. I really want Christians to see this film and actually, think about that, you know, even by being silent. What I said last night was that, you know, by being silent, we did a screening at the National Cathedral in Washington, and we had a very prominent LGBT activist from Uganda there who had gone to the church to be cured of her lesbianism at the time, and she was corrective raped for 1 week. And she told that story, and it was so emotional. And she said, as Christians, you can't be silent and let this happen to people in the name of religion. And that's so... Such you can't get more powerful than that.
No, I don't think there's any question. The reception you have received around the world, you've talked to a number of church groups. You've talked to probably about every audience that you could, and we talked a little bit. I mean, you've been traveling for a year.
Yeah.
What is your hope that comes out of those kinds of discussions?
I hope that people start to hold their leaders in church accountable for where the money is going. There's a lot of great work that American evangelicals have done in Africa, but a lot of that money people don't realize goes to fund pastors like Martin Semple, who's supported by many mega churches in America. Mm. He was even supported by Rick Warren's church, who built his website. He was on his payroll. So it's about saying, you know, we want to make sure this money is not going to fund. So we have a campaign, Keep Hate Off the Collection Plate. Also, U.S. government money is going to fund intolerance. It's when we give PEPFAR our AIDS, the president's AIDS AIDS funding, that goes to faith-based organizations, and it doesn't reach the LGBT community, you know, who needs it, you know, most. They don't get antiretrovirals or counseling or condoms. So, you know, it's about holding our leaders accountable. So it's about really raising awareness and bringing the film to people, to your church or your community, and raising awareness and holding them accountable.
Oftentimes, in process, people look away, and then when an outcome comes out, then it draws attention to what has been going on. And that appears to be, it does appear that the United States, among other governments, is now stepping forward with the passage of this legislation and saying, now hold on just a second. There's talk of withholding aid, that kind of thing. What do you think will be the outcome of this legislation now passing?
I mean, I think that American pressure, Western pressure has worked. It can also backfire. I'm sure patients can tell you that the gay community can become scapegoats even more if aid is cut off. Aid is a big part of Ugandan society. So I think that the way that the State Department is working is their sort of quiet diplomacy, talking to Museveni. I think that Museveni counts on the money from the West, and he doesn't want to lose that money. I think that I personally think that's why he has not signed the bill, but it's a hugely popular, and he's a president that is up for re-election in 2016, and you know, he would win a lot of votes and a lot of goodwill by passing the vote, and it also distracts the public from the real issues, just like Patience said, which is corruption. It's like, okay, we can create this sort of scapegoat in the LGBT community, and everyone can have something to hate.
Right. Right. And to the issue of the International House of Prayer, have you had any dialogue with them since this film came out? And what is their reaction? Do they feel that they were accurately depicted? Do they feel that it's a fair representation or no?
No, I think it's really tough, you know, being in a film for the subjects. I've had a number of... I flew John O'Hall and a leader, Stuart Greaves, to New York and showed them the film early on. And we had a four-hour conversation afterwards. And it was a really good conversation. And Stuart actually said it made him rethink the way they spread their message. I think with the press, they've gotten a little more defensive. I've screened a number of times. We had our theatrical run in Kansas City. I screened at the Kansas International Film Festival. I've done a private screening there. I've invited members from IHOP. A bunch of them have come to the screenings. And one woman stood up at a screening and said she was ashamed of her church. So I've had a lot of interaction. John O'Hall and I were on the NPR station in Kansas City a few months ago. And I think that they're, instead of sort of saying, looking at the way they spread their message and trying to understand what's going on in Uganda, they've sort of gotten very defensive about it. And they've said, you know, it's not our fault. Mm-hmm. We're just preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't, whatever they do, it's what they do, you know, and that's, you know, if you're going to go to a country and you're going to try to change someone's mind, then you have to take responsibility for what you're doing in that country.
And it should be noted that the folks who lead these megachurches are quite imbued in not only Ugandan politics, but in American politics at the very highest levels. They're regarded as trusted advisors. And so those messages seem to resonate within certain sectors of the American culture that probably would see this film and not necessarily have a problem with some of the things. There would probably be a line drawn somewhere, but that are going on. Yes?
Yeah, yeah. You know, Lou Engel in the film,
who founded the International House of Prayer.
He's one of the leaders of the International House of Prayer. Mike Bickle founded it. Lou is very involved in American politics. Lou has an organization called The Call, and The Call are stadium prayer rallies to fight against, you know, he focuses on three things, homosexuality, abortion, and Islam, the threat of Islam, as he calls it. Mm-hmm. So Lou, as you, in the film, we show his rally, 33,000 people, I believe, for the fight to pass Prop 8 in California. And you know what Lou says to me is that they're losing the war in America as marriage equality gets passed state by state with the Supreme Court ruling. They're losing the culture war, but they're winning it in the global South and in Africa. So they go there and they have sort of free reign. And Lou has access. When he went and did the call, he met with all the Ugandan politicians. He met the president, everyone, and he gets to say, you know, this needs to be a Christian nation. This needs to be a country where your laws reflect your Christian values first, because Lou believes that first biblical law is above civil law.
Right. We've come to the end of the program. Thank you so much for being with us. This is we've come to the end of this week's edition of Global Journalist, produced by the Reynolds Journalism Institute and, of course, the Missouri School of Journalism. We were joined today by documentary filmmaker Roger Ross Williams and also on the phone by Patience Akumu, who is a freelance journalist in Kampala. Global Journalist is directed by Travis McMillan, audio by Pat Akers. Raymond Tungekar is our executive producer, and Joanne Coca was this week's lead producer. Please join us again next week for another version of Global Journalist.